Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Being fired in the air, and I guess probably four or five, and it sounded like bullets, but what do I know about that? But Secret Service knew immediately it was bullets, and they grabbed me. I was with an agent, and the agent did a fantastic job. There was no question that we were off that course. I would have loved to have sank that last putt, but we decided, well, let's get out of here.
I would have rather finished the hole. I mean, but, you know... Had to save my life and all, you know, so I love that. The questions about this assassination attempt have not yielded, what's the word I want, any answers that make any sense. For example, the guy who is alleged to have positioned himself to shoot at President Trump with an SKS rifle, which is kind of like a precursor to the AK-47, it's been made since in a lot of different forms. I'm not saying it's this ancient weapon, but it's not an AK-47. It's like one, and those ballistic shields or inserts that he would have had in the, in the backpacks hanging from the chain link fence, and he poking his rifle barrel through the bushes, and the Secret Service agent seeing him and, you know, taking shots at him, he runs away, you know, the story. He's a felon. In fact, you know, he's not supposed to be able to have a gun. So how does he have a gun in Florida when, you know, he lives in Hawaii? And yes, it's legal to fly with a gun. You know, you can pack a gun. But how do you get it? And here? And, you know, that's a question. Other questions that are slightly more pressing are things like, okay, so he was hanging out there for 12 hours, which sounds very much like, I mean, I won't say relatively routine sniper activity, but, you know, snipers are accustomed to waiting in a place a long time. That's what they do. You go find your place, you wait, 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 you wait. You take a shot, right? That's how that works, okay? That's not unusual. I mean, you know, 12 hours is a long time, but not all that long for a sniper. But why wait there? Since Trump wasn't scheduled to play golf that next day, Ron Rowe Jr., the acting Secret Service director.
This was an off-the-record movement. It wasn't a site that was on his scheduled, it wasn't part of his schedule. So there was no posting up of it because he wasn't supposed to have gone there.
So this was an all-of-a-sudden thing. Nobody knew he was golfing that day. So just on a lark, he decides to go 12 hours ahead of the president and lay down in the bushes and put up the sniper hole setup that he's got and wait. And it wasn't until the Secret Service comes by one hole in advance of the president, who, by the way, apparently was never in actual field of vision, you know, line of fire from this particular position, even though he was about 400 yards away. But why was he there? I mean, you know, maybe he was going there every day, just waiting to get lucky one time. It's possible. And, you know, it is possible. But does his cell phone, which is how we know he was there for 12 hours, does his cell phone show that he had been there a bunch? Or did a felon who flew in from Hawaii, I guess, flew, with a rifle or bought one in Florida, passing a background check as a convicted felon, unknown, and then just decided to hang out in this one place on the one day the president was coming? I mean, right, there's a lot of questions that at this point nobody seems to have an answer for. You know, we're early in. It's 2 days in, but still. Those are my questions. You have any? 437-1620. That's kind of how I've been reacting to this story. I think, you know, it just doesn't seem like we know a lot, and the things that we do know aren't, you know, explaining anything. So the president, of course, got, you know, lucky twice. He's praising the Secret Service, saying they did a good job. Meanwhile, Governor DeSantis is vowing that we will independently investigate this assassination attempt here in Florida. The federal government, with all due respect to them, he says, those same agencies that are prosecuting Trump in that jurisdiction are not going to be investigating this. I just think that may not be the best thing for the country. Nevertheless, they have the prerogative, but we have our prerogative, and so we'll be making an announcement further along those lines in the ensuing days, according to DeSantis. I understand the feds are involved, he says, but we do believe there were multiple violations of state law. We also believe there's a need to make sure the truth about all this comes out in a way that's credible. As in, maybe not, from the Department of Justice. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. I want to wait and make sure that we get it before we criticize it. Meanwhile, you've got Mike Johnson, who says,
we are demanding in the House that he have every asset available, and we will make more available if necessary.
And apparently there has been increased Secret Service protection on Trump since the first assassination attempt, and also on Kamala Harris, apparently. Joe Biden caught momentarily outside of the basement.
The service needs more help, and I think the Congress should respond to their needs.
What a fabulous example of leadership. We've had a second assassination on a political rival, and he says the Secret Service needs more help and Congress probably ought to act. So he's the executive, right? I mean, Biden and Harris have been running the country so well that the Secret Service is inept. Well, I mean, not, you know, they did catch this guy before he had a chance to shoot at Trump. They did not search for people in the bushes. They did not sweep far enough ahead. They did have a guy within a quarter mile of the president with a rifle that easily crosses that distance and, you know, can get on target pretty easily. It's a success for that agent. And a failure for the agency, I would say, is how I, because it's not that they stopped him, it's that he shouldn't have ever been there, right? That he shouldn't have ever been that close to the former president. That's where the failure is, as we're going to talk about in the replay we'll have of Sheriff Bob Johnson's interview. But Biden seems to think that it's Congress's job to make the Secret Service run better under the Department of Homeland Security, which is, last time I checked, an executive function. That's their office. Right? Their agency. Secretary of Homeland Security, isn't that, that's a cabinet level, right? DHS secretary. So that is under Biden's administration or Harris's administration or whoever's running the show. So you have now twice allowed President Trump to have an assassination attempt against him. One time where he got hit, one time where he was just, you know, close. And your complaint is Congress? No, I'm not saying Congress can't act. I'm not saying Congress doesn't have any ability to do better. I'm just saying that if you're a leader, you take responsibility and you act. You fire people. You get rid of a bunch of people and you make some decisions as an executive. You might have made those decisions after the first attempt. In contrast, how do you think President Trump would have reacted if a political candidate for the presidency had gotten shot while he was president? I mean, people would have been out of their jobs immediately because that's leadership, right? Now, I use this as a way of talking about the Biden response, because you remember what the Biden-Harris response was on Sunday after the shooting became, you know, news? Well, political violence has no place in our country. Well, you're in charge. And your answer is to scold people about the inappropriateness of political violence? I mean, it's kind of par for the course, right? We're going to scold Putin. How dare you? This is wrong. I don't even like what you're doing. It's just, what? Words? You actually have power. But you think that just saying bad boy is an adequate response? That's what I hear. Oh, political violence has no... Of course it has no place in our society. What are you going to do about it? You remember when the Supreme Court handed down their ruling that I disagreed with, okay? The ruling that indicated that in core powers, the president is immune to prosecution after he leaves office. Right? You remember this ruling and people, oh my God, what is Trump going to do if he gets power? They actually discussed the hypothetical case in the Supreme Court, in the oral arguments, and in the opinion. I think it was in the opinions. It was absolutely in the oral arguments. I think they even mentioned it in the opinions. I don't remember for a fact. That what if a president ordered an assassination attempt upon his political rival? Would that make him subject to prosecution afterwards? And the answer is, you know, we're not sure. Because that seems like core power. Seems like there'd be other answers to that, but, okay. And all the critics, including me, were horrified about the prospect that a president could hypothetically order an assassination and then not suffer legal liability for that out of office. Particularly, the strongest critics were worried that this would, if Trump gets reelected, empower him to order the assassination of a political rival, and then he wouldn't face charges afterwards because of what the Supreme Court ruled. That's what they were worried about, right? Well, we have the hypothetical worry about Trump using the judicial, military, law enforcement apparatus of the country to assassinate a political rival and not being subject to any consequences for it. Or we have, you know, meanwhile, back at the Hall of Injustice, we have two actual assassination attempts on a political rival under the watchful eye of the Secret Service, overseen by the watchful eye of the current president and vice president of the United States. And they're, at best, negligence. 522 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Seeking the pulse of economic strength?
The Port of Pensacola is more than a name. It's the driving force behind Northwest Florida's progress. Home to over 20 major businesses, from C-Mex Materials to General Electric Wind Energy, and now the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, they've been a catalyst for prosperity and growth. Ready to shape the future? Visit portofpensacola.com and discover how they power the region's success.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and it happens Tuesday nights at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Be sure to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Coming up this Tuesday, it's the White Sands Panhandle Band. They are the hottest band when it comes to bluegrass, country, and rockabilly. And they're inspired by so many great artists like Marty Stewart, Doyle Lawson, and Charlie Daniels. So come out to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with White Sands Panhandle Band. So remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Can you roll the young lady down to the juicing room at once, please?
What for?
For squeezing. She has to be squeezed immediately before she explodes.
2, 3, 4.
Ooh. Ooh.
myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking.
Good morning, 525 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Holy smokes, man. Did you see the rainfall totals that Alan Strum was talking about for the prior 24 hours last night on Channel 3? He was just kind of going over that we've had, you know, we had some spot storming, right? So central Pensacola had somewhere around, 2 inches. Like Baldwin County had 1.9. Milton actually had quite a bit. North Milton actually, like J area, had like 5.5. Sorry, not Milton. 2.5 in Milton proper. And then little old Navarre had the black hole of interdimensional despair open over the top of it for 8.5 inches. Yeah, in case you didn't notice, there was a massive rainstorm in Navarre and flooding and problems. And I was, it literally on his little rainfall map, it's everything is kind of green and blue and teal. And then there's orange and red and demon horns, and the black dot over Navarre looks like the center. It's not, it's just a black dot over all the locations, but it makes it look like the black hole of utter rainfall opened over Navarre. So, good Lord, 8.5 inches. 526 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there have apparently been a rash of bomb threats at schools in Springfield, Ohio. Apparently, they're saying the threats have been linked to the allegations of Haitian immigrants eating cats and dogs in town. Two colleges there have moved to virtual learning, and two elementary schools had to be evacuated on Monday after threats. Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs says that he is looking forward to clearing his name in court. He was taken into federal custody in New York last night. Charges against him remain sealed for now, but that is expected to change today. About a dozen lawsuits have been filed against him, accusing him of sex trafficking and physical abuse. And the Coast Guard holding their hearings on last year's implosion of the OceanGate Titan submersible that was on its way to visit the Titanic. All five people on board were killed. The hearing started yesterday with testimony from a former director of engineering at OceanGate. Those will run through next week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody here says that there was maybe a friend of Trump's that, knew that they were going to play golf maybe together. That was one, and that, yeah, hiding for 12 hours is not that weird for a sniper. Right. If they know something is coming, my question is, how did they know that it was coming? And it is amazing that the Secret Service saw the rifle and fired into the bush. I mean, if you've seen the pictures, you can easily imagine a situation where nobody sees this is about to happen. I mean, that's easy to imagine that that's possible. 437, 16, 20, and they hope nothing bad happens to that person. Doesn't get Epstein. What was the other thing I was going to tell you? Something else on that. Somebody said about the water in Navarre. All right, who forgot to jiggle the toilet handle to make the flapper fall? I don't think that's how that works, but I'm not a meteorologist, so what do I know? Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you're trying to decide if now is the right time. Obviously, you want to make sure to get the best price, either, low if you're buying or high if you're selling. But you got to make sure to consider all the factors. And, it used to be all you really had to think about was sort of location and demand and interest rates. And then, the market was hot and then interest rates went up and all of a sudden the market's not hot anymore. It's just sort of cooled off. But people are still scared because they can't afford to buy these houses anymore with the rates being what they are. Rates may be coming back down a little bit, but are they coming down enough to make a big difference for all the people that have been sitting on the sidelines? And then, of course, there's the worry that, either if prices come down enough or if investors think that that's the best it's going to be, maybe they all jump back in and all of a sudden that drives prices back up and you're in competition with them again. All good concerns. Okay. What about the changes in the real estate commission? That could be very different depending on different realtors these days. But even the one that, I think like people may not be thinking a lot about is the price of home insurance. We all know the house insurance market is crazy right now. I mean, it's really infuriating to try to insure a home. But that's something that you have to take into account whether you're buying or selling because, if you buy a new home, it's one thing. But if you buy, pre-owned, so to speak, you may have to put on a new roof. You may have to put in a new water heater. That's a thing. You may have to put in new air conditioning just to get insurance, and then the price of that insurance might be something that you had not even been contemplating, or that a buyer of your house might not have been really contemplating. And so that can definitely affect how you're able to buy or sell. Good questions. Ask Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. They'll explain it to you, and they'll help you ask all the right ones. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump says the Secret Service did a great job protecting him from a man with a rifle at his golf course in West Palm Beach, Florida, Sunday.
All of a sudden, we heard shots being fired in the air. And I guess probably four or five.
Gunshots fired by an agent at the barrel of a gun he saw pointing out of the bushes. The former president there in an interview on X Spaces. Phone records show Ryan Wesley Ruth hit out on the course for nearly 12 hours. Rapper and music executive Sean Diddy Combs is arrested in New York.
The charges in the indictment are not immediately clear, but will be unsealed later this morning when he's arraigned. The 54-year-old Combs has been plagued by sexual assault lawsuits and a federal investigation in connection to a human trafficking investigation. He's also been accused of a long pattern of domestic violence against his former partner, R&B singer Cassie Ventura.
Fox's Ted Linder. Federal officers took Combs into custody at a hotel last night. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 73 right now. It is mostly cloudy in Pensacola. The former assistant principal at Pensacola High School now facing some new charges related to video voyeurism and child porn. 55-year-old Sean Roby was arrested for a second time last Friday. He now faces an additional 29 charges. The new counts include four video voyeurism charges and several counts of possession of child porn as well. Roby was first arrested in mid-August after police said he secretly recorded a 17-year-old nude in her bedroom. The video was discovered on Roby's laptop. After that first arrest, police say they found four more videos that he had recorded of that girl when she was only 15 years old and found several child porn files on the computer as well. Roby had initially been suspended from the Escambia School District but was fired last Monday. He remains in the Escambia County Jail now on $520,000 bond. Two teens arrested after threats at Foley High School last week. A 15-year-old girl and boy are now both charged with making a terrorist threat and disorderly conduct. Police say the teens created threatening social media posts and put them on several online platforms. This reportedly happened after that lockdown incident at Foley High School last week. Foley police say the school will also be taking disciplinary action against the teens. Florida will be conducting its own investigation into the attempted assassination of Donald Trump.
We're going to be doing a state-level investigation. I understand that the feds are involved, but we do believe that there were multiple violations of state law. We also believe that there's a need to make sure that the truth about all this comes out in a way, you know, that's credible.
Governor DeSantis says that the same agencies that are prosecuting Trump in one case are now investigating the second assassination attempt. DeSantis says the people deserve the truth about would-be assassin Ryan Roth, who appeared in court yesterday. So far, he's charged with several firearm violations. Two students facing charges for threatening violence at schools in Escambia County. The sheriff's office announcing yesterday a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old have been arrested for separate incidents. The 15-year-old homeschooled student allegedly posted on Snapchat that he was going to shoot up a school. A 12-year-old allegedly threatened to shoot another student at MacArthur Elementary School. The sheriff's office is asking parents to explain to their kids that if they make these types of threats, they will be arrested. Rick Scott blaming Democrats for blocking a bill that would expand in vitro fertilization. Senator Scott called for his IVF bill to pass yesterday, but it didn't. He said the IVF with HSAs Act would allow people to better plan and pay for medical expenses such as in vitro fertilization. That bill would decouple HSAs from high-deductible health plans. It would also double the amount of contribution limits on HSAs to more than $17,000 for families. Scott said his daughter was using IVF to grow her family. He called IVF one of the few unifying policies that Democrats and Republicans can agree on. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a chance of rain as you go through the morning and afternoon. 50% chance overall, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. A little more sunshine for that Wednesday with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Keeping sunshine around on Thursday with a high near 89 and a low near 66. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we do have 73 degrees in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Let's get a look at our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A lot happening on Wall Street this week. Investors are preparing for the release of retail sales data for August later today for one final glimpse into the health of the economy ahead of the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting. Economists polled by Dow Jones are bracing for a 0.2% decline. In regard to the Fed's meeting, which starts later today, Wall Street expects an interest rate cut, but markets are divided on the size of the potential reduction. According to CME Group's Fed Watch tool, traders are currently pricing in a 67% chance that the central bank eases rates by 50 basis points. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy has instructed all corporate staffers to work in office 5 days a week. Previously, Amazon required employees to work in office at least 3 days a week. The retail giant is also flattening its corporate structure by having fewer managers in each organization. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
5:36, our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499, with a choice to finance through Volkswagen Credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas. Or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months, or the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sale price before tax, title, and income fees. See dealer for details.
Join Jim's Firearms for a 10th anniversary celebration on September 20th and 21st. They're partnering with local favorites like Badass Coffee, Key Nutrition, and more for an unforgettable event. Indulge in delicious food from La Casita Food Truck and 850 Barbecue. But that's not all. They're having numerous firearm raffles with all proceeds benefiting Save Underdogs Rescue. Stop by Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway, September 20th and 21st, to celebrate a decade of community support. Online at jimsfirearms.net. Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
FBI investigating what they say appears to be an apparent assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump.
Shortly before 2 p.m. on Sunday at Trump International Golf Club at West Palm Beach. The U.S. Secret Service personnel opened fire on a gunman located near the property line.
What they do is they have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at. and he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off.
Yeah, we've talked about this quite a bit, and of course it's now a well-known story, but still an amazing thing to have that be the difference between whether somebody gets yet a second time a shot off against the former president on a golf course. And yesterday we had a good chance to talk about this pretty extensively with Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Yeah, that was something else to, you know, basically tell them, hey, this is our game plan when he golfs. So that's just, I'm speechless.
it's, you know, the one of the points that Trump made in the debate that didn't get a lot of attention, I made something of it a little bit the day after, was he said, you know, the problem is that you people never fire anybody. And, you know, he gets flack for being the guy who fires everybody because they were making this case like all these former employees of yours don't like you. And he says, well, you know, maybe that's true. I mean, he didn't say, but, you know, but you guys never fire anybody no matter how incompetent. And what I thought is he could have at that point made the case. So they tried to kill me recently. Who's gotten fired over that?
Yeah, exactly. And the answer is no one.
And now this just, and the defense is, well, he's not a sitting president. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's not a sitting president, and they don't want him to be a sitting president, so that's why he doesn't get the security that he needs. So, but at least this time, the Secret Service agent actually saw and shot at a threat. Didn't hit him, but made him run off, at least, so that's a good thing.
I mean, the outcome, again, is one where you have to say, well, you know, good, but how does a guy get a barrel of a, you know, either an AK-47 or an SKS or something, you know, with two ceramic shield containing backpacks hanging off of the chain link fence? How does he even get a barrel of a gun up into position 400 yards away from the former president and probably possibly any of the future? How does that happen at all?
Yeah. It's still pretty scary. I tell you what, it's the times they are changing. And I'll tell you right now, this guy supposedly flew from Hawaii, which is an all Democrat state, all the way to Florida, and I'm going to be interested to see how he came from Hawaii, got that AK-47, because he obviously didn't bring it on the plane with him.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, yeah, so I'm anxious to find out more on how, well, he's crazy if he flies from Hawaii to Florida just, you know, to try to kill the president. So obviously he's a nut job, but how he got that gun, I'm anxious to find out about him.
Well, you know, and just to remind people that you worked when you were in the Air Force, you worked with presidential detail and worked security for Reagan, if I remember correctly, a couple of years.
Correct.
And so, you know, kind of that's why I ask you your perspective in particular. But, you know, one of the worries we had after the last event was, especially this came out in the House hearings with the Republicans, is anybody who's really paying attention realizes that the former president is not safe. And if they want to do something, you know, act now before he has the ability to really protect himself, whether you're, you know, the Sinaloa cartel or you're the Iranians or you're just some nut job. Well, it seems like people are listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, what kind of amazes me, Trump, with his money that he has, what I would be doing after the debacles that have been happening all around him, I would hire a bunch of ex-Navy SEALs, SEAL Team 6, DOPA guys, whatever. And I would pay my own money and say, hey, I need protection. And they would protect him. I don't understand why he didn't do that.
You said that after the first shooting, rightly so.
Yeah.
You know, it almost makes me think, like, you know how there's the, you know, the motorcycle riders who go around sometimes and, like, they block out the Westboro cult people and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It almost makes me think, like, there's going to be a group of, you know, Patriot veterans who say, I will take care of this, you know?
Yeah. And they'll probably do a better job than the Secret Service, which is sad to say.
Unbelievable. And I just want to make sure we don't go without asking anything. When you look at this, granted, the Secret Service agent saw it, but, you know, I want to know things like, did they have a drone? Well, what about on a golf course? I don't care. I mean,
what should happen was that road that runs directly by where they know he's going to play golf. This isn't a surprise hole for him to be on. They know where he's going to be for the next 3 hours because that's what it takes to play 18 holes. So that street that's like 300 yards away from where he's going to be standing, why don't they have a guy there? I don't understand. It's not rocket science. So it's a wooded area 300 yards away from where they know he's going to be in a few minutes or a few hours. Why not put a guy there? I mean, I got nothing.
I mean, how many times does the president have to get lucky?
Yes.
Before you take this seriously.
Correct. 100% accurate. I mean, they don't take it seriously, apparently. So apparently they don't anyways. I don't know what their thought process is. So.
And you know what? For people who haven't been listening to the show an awful long time, both you and Sheriff Simmons were kind of in the same progression, which was, you know, in the beginning, you know, you're always cautious to criticize other law enforcement agencies. You're always deferential. You're always slow to judge. And both of you had the same basic reaction to these two events, which was, man, I don't know, but boy, this. And then you're like, what in the? You know, this is horribly, horribly, terribly wrong. There's no way to sugarcoat this.
Yeah, there's not. And you know, if you're the head of the Secret Service right now, you should be pretty embarrassed. And that the sitting president, and I use the term loosely, he's probably laying down sleeping right now, but he should relieve the person in charge, the one that replaced the other person that couldn't do their job.
Oh, the guy who got promoted after Trump got shot the first time? The answer for him was a promotion? Yeah, that guy? All right.
Yes, that guy. They need to get rid of him and then get somebody else in there and keep doing that until finally somebody with, you know, some sense gets in there and fixes the problem, because obviously the problem is not getting fixed.
Well, I hate to be glib about it, but I mean, seriously, my worry is that Trump will run out of luck before they run out of incompetent administrators.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
And that's, you know, it's like that's too slow a solution for me. Sheriff, on Friday in Escambia County in Pensacola, we had a pretty significant school scare. A lot of people held their kids home from school because there was, you know, photos of a gun running around and threat to shoot up the schools. I don't think you guys had any direct threats on Friday, but it seems like the threats have increased a lot. And I think a lot of parents are asking the question, how do I know when it's safe? How do I know when my kids are safe? How do I know when it's okay to send them or keep them home from school?
Yeah, in Santa Rosa County, I can definitely tell you we take it seriously. We have a armed deputy in every single school during all school hours. So every school you go to in Santa Rosa County, when you pull up front, you're going to see a marked patrol car, and there'll be an armed deputy inside the school to protect the kids. But I'll tell you this, we've seen an increase, and it's just stupid things. Kids saying stupid things and doing stupid things, saying, you know, they get mad at somebody and say, you know, they'll say over an Xbox game, you know, where they're talking or something, don't come to school tomorrow, I'm going to shoot you. And then, of course, we get that. We have to go out and do a home check of this kid's house to see if he has access to weapons. And then the school deals with them. And a lot of these kids get suspended or expelled, and, you know, just for smarting off to another kid, saying he's going to bring a gun to school or whatever, they don't think before they speak. And it costs them a lot, because if you get expelled from a school in San Rosa County, you have to go to another school where it's basically a school of kids who all they do is get in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's not like the best learning environment on earth, but you got to think before you speak.
And you know, we've had this, it's a delicate balance to figure out, because for the longest time, on the one hand, we've got ridiculous examples of, you know, like a kindergartner draws a picture of a gun and he gets expelled. You know, and then on the other hand, you've got, you know, real genuine threats. And it can be hard to tell the difference in that scale, especially given the high stakes for kids who make dumb choices because they're kids, you know. And how do you figure that out in a case by case?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We take it case by case, and we have to deal with it case by case, no matter how, you know, if we think it's a joke, that's great, but we're going to have to prove it's a joke. And then, like I said, even though they were joking or whatever, the school system still deals with them.
Yeah.
So they decide what happens to them. And obviously, if you do bring a gun to school, then we deal with you, and that's a felony, and then off you go.
Sheriff Bob Johnson, he is the sheriff of Santa Rosa County. As always, sir, thank you for your service. Thank you for the time. Thank you for keeping us safe. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care, Andrew.
All right. Thanks so much, sir. And so I actually just was communicating with the public information officer for the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, Kyle Blankenship, because here we're talking with Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday. And then, you know, somebody texts me that there's actually been another rumored threat last night involving a Santa Rosa County school, Milton High School. And so I texted him. I said, do you know anything about this? He said, yes, this is known. This is being investigated. And I asked, you know, what do you want us to tell people? And he said, there's expected an augmented, enhanced law enforcement presence on campus today, and it's being investigated. So, you know, he says the text is visible in the screenshot that's circulating, so there's no known individuals right now. And it's just one of these generic, you know, threats against a high school with, you know, the Milton High School and the date today. And that's what we know. But you heard Bob Johnson, you know, an SRO in every school, trust the officers, they know what they're doing. Enhanced law enforcement presence there. You know, this is not a surprise to them. It's something that they are well aware of. And, you know, I was struggling with whether I would even announce it. Because, you know what happens is you announce, you give amplification to a thing. But I thought, well, I asked him specifically what we should tell the public, and that's what he wanted me to tell the public. So I'm telling you, okay? 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, bring the family for another free Cinema in the Sand movie at the Gulfside Pavilion. Bring your beach chairs and blankets and enjoy Inside Out, beginning at sunset. See visitpensacolabeach.com for more info. Saturday morning, join the team at EcoClean Marine and Oceanic Global for a beach cleanup beginning at 8. Meet at the boardwalk. All supplies will be provided. See eventbrite.com to sign up. Submit your event at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
Between the darkness on the street and the houses filling up with light. Between the stillness in my heart and the roar of the approaching night.
I hadn't heard this song in so long.
Somebody turns a corner.
And then I was like, I can't stop listening. So good.
Somewhere in the night.
You know, I love when you rediscover a song that maybe wasn't even, like, I've never owned a Jackson Brown album or anything like that. And just, you know, it's so good. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden says there's no place for political violence in America after the second assassination attempt on former President Trump. He was speaking at the National HBCU Week Conference in Philadelphia. Biden said there have been too many times that violence against political leaders has happened, and he says it does nothing but create more problems. Cleanup and recovery efforts beginning today in North Carolina. Communities after a massive storm dumped a lot of rain across the region. An unnamed storm system known as Tropical Cyclone 8 dumped up to 18 inches of rain on several coastal communities there. And gymnast Jordan Chiles is appealing a decision that left her stripped of a bronze medal in the Paris Olympics. She lost out on bronze in the women's gymnastics floor final when the Romanian team challenged a decision to revise her final score.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we're getting a bunch of texts in here about the Jackson Brown. How much one person, I appreciate that memory and good song. And yeah, it's not, It's fun. So I have like 3,000 bumper songs that I have packaged to be ready to play as bumper music. And I have these folders of it's a long story of how the bumper music gets to you. Right, John? Can you confirm?
I can confirm okay. This one.
In an effort to try to keep it fresh all the time and not repeat too often is
correct.
Frankly why I do it. I was in the folder yesterday setting up for today's show, and I'm like, oh, that's a song I haven't heard in a while, and I put it in my list, and then I played it to preview, and I'm like, oh, that's a really good song. So just, you know, sometimes the obscure catch is the one that, I don't know, catches my attention anyway. 437-1620, 437-1620. The gun age in Florida yet again is going to be in front of a court, it looks like. Remember the panel had heard this case and said, sometimes you can know that a case is like in the court and yet, you know, the rulings that's sometimes harder. I believe the answer was that they upheld the law banning 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from purchasing a rifle in Florida. Of course, nobody under 21 federally can purchase a pistol, and then you can give it or donate it to somebody who's under 21, but they can't legally purchase it, is the way the law. This is a post-Parkland law, right? A law that I think is unconstitutional. Not per se, because it limits some kind of firearm from somebody who is 18, 19, or 20 from buying it the way the pistol law does, but because it effectively prohibits all firearms, which is a constitutional right. And since, you know, now you're dependent on the kindness of strangers, so to speak, then, or of family, that puts a very unique prohibition on people who are 18, 19, or 20. In any case, the state attorneys are talking about this as they're appealing it to the full panel for the appeals court that's going to hear the case. And the state attorney, this is Ashley Moody's office, says that the law does fit neatly within the historical tradition, because that's now under the Supreme Court's jurisprudence. You have to show that any regulation of firearms ownership, possession, use, whatever, is not that you have to show that law existed previously under the Second Amendment, like going back to the founding, that was a law in the keeping with the tradition of the Second Amendment. You don't have to have the exact analog, but you do have to show that it sort of fits within the understanding. That's why, for example, laws dealing with, you know, like red flag, okay, with people who are known threats or suspected threats. The argument is not that we had red flag laws in, you know, 1801. The argument is, but it was routine to prohibit people who were known dangers from owning firearms. And because that was a known practice, the known practice today, a similar practice of prohibiting somebody who is a risk to themselves or others from owning a weapon, is sort of within that vein. Okay, that's where that ruling came down, that yes, that was allowable. Well, okay. So same thing here is the question of whether the 18, 19, or 20 is a prohibition in line with the historical limits on gun control, even if not on gun ownership, even if not specifically historically the same, if it's sort of within the genre or the tradition or something like that. For myself, I just don't think you can blanket prohibit 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. You have to have each individual carries their constitutional rights in them. It inheres, you might say, in them. And so you have to show that they are, you know, they do not deserve to hold it anymore. A red flag law gives circumstances that an individual would forfeit their Second Amendment rights. Being 19 does not justify that. And that's where I would say that this is different, and that's why I think that this ought to be overturned. 8:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know what? I don't even know how often to say this, honestly, John. You know, we've been struggling with this story. There was a threat on social media against Milton High last night. I talked with Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. They are investigating it. They're well aware. They're going to have an enhanced law enforcement presence. I want you, when you show up to school, not to be surprised there's cops there, which is what you're going to see. But I don't want to raise the level of your concern. But I also know that as a parent or, you know, a student, you want to make decisions based on information. So I'm giving you what I'm able to give you.
You're listening to News Radio 9.